listening to The Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I have no idea. I haven't looked at the Midday Maestro's log for today.
I have no idea. And also, the Midday Maestro, usually he picks the song based on maybe the segment or the guest. So he did this probably in advance. We had, Chuck Wepner, who's now not going to be here.
Yeah, the real life Rocky. We're going to reconnect with him. The movie Chuck that is out. I think it's an IFC Films deal. We're going to reconnect with Chuck Wepner, the real life Rocky.
So long story short, I don't know anything about that song, but I'm sure Gardner will text us in momentarily.
He's monitoring the show from afar.
And also enjoying the show.
Is he? Back with you on the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe with you. We're supposed to be at Ruth Park. The power's out over there. A lot of folks lost power as of this morning. There were stoplights out. There were various limbs out here and there. And riding the storm out is going to be the theme again, because tonight's game, Dave Murray said, yeah, there's a pocket where it's okay, then it's going to be bad. And then Saturday's game, tomorrow's game, shameless plug, is on Fox 2. And scheduled start at 6 o'clock, 5:30 to 6 is the red zone, in theory. No, it's supposed to be on Fox 2.
So I'll be down there.
Chuck will be there. I'll be in the studio.
On the field.
We'll be red zoning. I think you're going to check in with Joe Davis, who is the Dodgers announcer, the young guy that replaced Vin Scully, who's also doing the game on Fox tomorrow.
Joe Davis, and you can actually call him a young guy. I think he's about 28, and taking over for Vin Scully, already working for Fox and has the last couple years. And I know he's from the Lansing, Michigan area, friends with Audrey Dahlgren from Channel 5, and I'm pretty sure that I called highlights of him as a high school football quarterback. He went to a school around Lansing when I was there, let's say 2004, 2005. So I bet you I called highlights of Joe Davis when he was a high school quarterback.
How does that make you feel? You were in the business.
I know.
Was a high school kid, and now he's replacing Vin Scully. In your interview tomorrow, do you think I'll be able to detect any bitterness?
No, I won't be bitter, because I'm very happy for him, and he's really good. But, yes, would I like to have the jobs that he has? But then I wouldn't be able to work with you, Martin.
That's true. Gardner has said that song that was the Bag Raiders, and he does say, in fact, he is enjoying the show. And Dave Job is texting in, he forgot to work in a Panama drop. He's saving it for next week.
Can't wait.
The Panama Jones joke. That's really, when we do today's takeaways or what do we learn at the end of the show, we really need to do it as a week ending. Things we learned this week, like Jeff Fisher's a Hoosier, according to Andy Strickland.
We all knew that, though.
Orlando Cepeda is confused often with Panama Jones. That's my new nickname. We could get to all of that a little later. Also, the Rockman will do What's Your Percentage? And Chuck's list of
this
fun.
This is a great list.
You're very excited about
it's
this.
It's from Bro Bible, and it's the top 40 baseball names. Some great ones here.
All right, we were scheduled to be in U City, and we always like to keep it local. When we're in the neighborhood, we say, hey, who else is in U City? As of this week, Kelvin Lee, longtime basketball coach, is hunkered down now in U City, but our remote got canceled because of the weather, but we join Kelvin now via the phone. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing, Martin?
We're doing real well, and you made the move, made the announcement this week. Tell us about the program at U City and why you took the job.
Well, I'm very excited about the possibility of getting the coach here. Your city, they have a strong tradition, and a great alumni base. You know, you got some guys like Bernard Gilkey, Reddick, you know, those guys. And I'm very excited about it. It's a good opportunity for me and make an impact with these kids here.
Yeah, and I was thinking over the years last night, and Bernard Gilkey was a hell of a baseball player. We know that, but he was really good at basketball. Did Nelly play basketball there? Cornelius Haynes? I think he did. Nelly may have.
Yeah, I think so. But again, I guess I go back to that 1986 team that lost to Bashan. They were in the state quarterfinals. They were really good, coached by Ed Crenshaw Sr. And of course, we all know Ed, his son, Ed Crenshaw Jr. He's a great guy as well. He's he's a referee, and we've had some moments on the court as well. But again, I'm very excited about this job.
When you come in as a new coach, how do you get up to speed on the roster or the kids you have? Can you have like an informal shoot around, or how do you get to know what you have?
Well, we're going to come in and we'll start. It all starts this summer. The last day of school was today. And then in the month of June, we'll have a couple of weeks of practice. Again, that first practice is going to be a really good one. It'll be very intense. And that's pretty much how I'm going to get to know these guys.
And so, Kelvin, tell us about also, you know, leaving St. Mary's, obviously. A lot of talent there as well. That had to be tough just knowing you had a really good team this past year and a lot of guys coming back.
Yeah, and again, I enjoyed my 3 years at St. Mary's. I appreciate, you know, Mike England giving me that opportunity there. And again, it was a good run. But, you know, things happen in this business, and we all know that. And again, like I said, St. Mary's is in better shape now than it was when I got there. And I wish those guys nothing but the best of luck. And hopefully they'll make that run next year. And the good thing about it, we're all 4A. Then hopefully I can get my team up to speed and possibly meet up with those guys down the road.
Do you enjoy that challenge of building up a program, getting it back on the map?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. You know, again, it, like you said, it's a challenge. And again, it starts with the young kids. I just take my time. And I win as many games as I can my first year. And then by the second or third year, those kids coming in from the eighth grade and building it that way from the ground up.
And if I'm not mistaken, one of your famous players back in the day, Bradley Beal, didn't he grow up in the Youth City area?
Yeah, he grew up. It's amazing. Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, they're both Youth City kids.
So maybe there's some talent there that, you know, I know I'm a private school kid myself. Chuck's a public school kid.
That's right.
Maybe you got to find some of those kids and intervene before they end up at a prep school.
Well, I've already had a chance to meet with the eighth grade kids. And again, I had a great visit, talk with those kids. And again, like you said, a lot of those kids are leaving U City and going to all the privates. And my goal is to put up a roadblock and barriers around that area and keep those kids home.
Kelvin, you mentioned Bradley Beal, coached him at Chaminade, won a state championship with him there. How much fun was it for you to watch Bradley Beal, especially what he did this year? You know, he gets a big contract. He was always a very good NBA player, but stayed healthy all season long, put up pretty much season highs, career highs in every offensive category. He has 38 points in that final game where they lose to the Celtics, but really a banner year for Bradley Beal.
Well, like I said, what Bradley was doing in the last two games of that series was something I was accustomed to seeing for 4 years. I had the best seat in the house 4 years at Chaminade. And I knew he can do that, and just watch him do it on that big stage was so gratifying to me. I felt so good to see him doing it. I was out of my seat a lot, just yelling at the TV, you know, just trying to talk to him. You know, and again, I wanted to see him play right before the end of the season in D.C. and stayed a couple nights with him. And again, they played Charlotte. And he had me great seats right on the baseline. And he heard me talking. I just said a couple of things, rise up. And when he heard me say that, he put a smile on his face because he knew that, you know, that's what I mean, just rise up and shoot that ball in. But it was so great to see him do it. Again, and as a coach, and then watching David Lee as well, it was just so gratifying to see those guys do well on the big stage.
And for David Lee, not just to get there, but to stay there. I mean, he has had a long, lengthy career in the NBA.
Well, he's such a good guy. You know, again, being a good person carries you a long ways. And both he and Bradley are mature beyond their years. You never hear about those guys getting in any kind of trouble. Like when David left the Golden State Warriors and he got traded, he went back and paid for all those guys' lunch and in the front office and, you know, the secretaries and the staff. He took care of those guys before he left. And that kind of stuff, doing that, carries you a long ways in the NBA.
Kelvin Lee, the new basketball coach at U City. That was announced this week. Longtime coach. Also goes back before your days, Charlie, the Spoon Hour era. How much spoon is in what you do? And do you find yourself in practice, you know, having a kind of spoonism when getting, oh, shucks, golly gee, what are you thinking over there? Spoon was great at ridiculing players in a polite way.
A lot of spoon is in me. And I was just talking to, a couple of days ago, Randy Stange, longtime assistant. So I was just talking to him a couple of days ago and how much I miss Spoon, because a lot of Spoon is in me. his system, his defensive philosophy, his style of play, the offense he runs is in me. And I just, again, we had success. He slew, won a lot of games and had a lot of fun. And so I developed that same mindset. I'm going to have, if I can't have fun at what I'm doing, I'm going to find something else to do. Maybe go sell life insurance or something. I don't know. But I got to have fun doing it. And again, win a lot of games along the way.
And Kelvin, I'm just wondering, what's it like as a high school coach when you get some new college coaches at the big schools around you here? Obviously, Konzo Martin, I'm guessing you've been dealing with him in the past, just recruiting, and Brad Underwood at Illinois, and you've had Travis Ford at SLU for the last couple of years. Even going back to Chaminade and St. Mary's and now at U City, do those guys immediately start calling the area high school coaches just to kind of, talk about future players and just establish those relationships?
Yes, they do. Again, I've heard from Konzo, and I've heard from, of course, Coach Ford here in town. And again, I got connections. I coached college ball for about 12 years. So all my connections, I know all these guys. And I've reached out to them since I've taken this position, and they all reach back and say, congrats, Coach. You're doing a great job. And it just so happened, it's ironic that I reached out to the University of Florida, Coach White and his assistant, Darius Nichols. Darius immediately texted me back. He said, hey, man, my wife is a U City grad. You're going to be seeing me a lot. So that's good stuff. And to have those guys like Curtis Townsend from KU, those guys will be coming in and keeping an eye on what's going on at U City because based on what I've done in the past. And it's just good for those kids.
Kelvin, thanks for the time. I'm sorry we didn't make it you. We didn't make it to your neighborhood, U City, today. But
That's okay. This weather was so bad.
All right, all the best. Kelvin Lee joining us here.
Thanks.
Longtime basketball coach in the area, of course. You had Chaminade, and you had Miller Career, St. Mary's, and now he has landed at U City. You had Nelly that went there, of course. I think he played some ball. Bernard Gilkey was a stud basketball player. That was my era. And also, obviously, stud baseball player. And Robert Person, who played for the Phillies, the Mets, he's a U City grad. Baseball guy. I don't know if he played basketball, but that's another guy that made it to the show, as they call it.
To the show. And I'm guessing Nelly has done this in the past. But, you know, with kids, with recruits, we always see on Twitter and social media, they love the sweet uniforms and all that. If you can really get Nelly to be kind of your guy and buying the shoes and the sweet jerseys, and you really tie in Nelly, I'm sure a lot of kids would love to play there and stay at U City and go to the public school, as you said, and play some good basketball.
Although Nelly's kid just graduated from CBC. Did you know that?
See, I didn't know that.
You did or didn't?
I did not.
You didn't know that his son just graduated at the CBC High
School. Was he an athlete?
I don't know if he played sports or not. I do not know. By the way, tonight you have Illinois night, and whenever we stretch it out like that, we're looking at something and reading it.
No, I got my article right here, ready to go. Top 40.
Hang on.
Names. I'm super excited.
So it's Illinois night at Busch Stadium, right?
It is.
And you have Lovie Smith. The Illinois coaches are going to be at Busch tonight. But our buddy Howard Richards tweeted out and said, "Hey guys, please promote." And so then I texted him just to be clear on this. Join us tonight at Ballpark Village for a chance to meet Konzo Martin, Robin Pingston, Barry Odom, and Jim Sterk. It's the Mizzou Coaches Caravan.
I love this.
So this has happened. And so I wrote Howard and it said, happy to mention it. But is that tonight? Because I started thinking, wait a minute, you got Illinois night and then the Mizzou Caravan's going on at the same
night.
This
is recruiting wars.
How about this?
I love this.
So over at Ballpark Village starting at 5:30, you have Konzo Martin, Barry Odom, Jim Sterk. Is it Pingston? Robin Pingston?
It's Pingston or Pinkton. It's one of those.
It's Luis Robert, probably. I believe.
Robert or Robert.
So, Mizzou fans, take note. 5:30 tonight, Ballpark Village, even if you're not going to the game, it's a meet and greet. It's the coach's caravan taking place. This is also for our programming needs on the Fox 2 side. I didn't know this was happening tonight.
I love this, though, because this is kind of like bragging rights. We're getting ready for it. You know they have Mizzou night at the ballpark. They have Illini night. I'm just saying, it's kind of like Mizzou is infringing upon Illini night at the ballpark, so I hope that Illinois does this to Mizzou whenever that night is, and we really get this thing going.
This feels a little bit like a throwdown.
And what Travis Ford should
Somebody's
do is...
trying to shove.
At the exact same time, Travis Ford and SLU should say,
we're over
hey,
at patios.
Free buffet for the media. Come hang out with Travis Ford. Free tacos. something like that, steak dinners, and steal all the media away from Illinois and Mizzou.
And then Fontbon's over at the Wheelhouse. And if I'm not mistaken, McKendree is at 360. What if all the colleges just kind of set up camp tonight?
Come hang out with Harry Statham.
Bottom line is it's Mizzou night over at Ballpark Village. Patios is the place to go, of course, before and after ever. That's where we like to hang out.
I love Patios.
And then you have Illinois night inside the ballpark. All right, Chuck Marlow has been sitting on this. In a minute, the Rock Man will do What's Your Percentage. I'm told he has the questions from Gadna. But right now, Charles, what do you have?
All right. So we have this list, and it is the 40 greatest names in the history of Major League Baseball. So I think first, with the Rockman and you, Martin, Morty, why don't you just throw out, what do you think are some of the best names? I'll go, I think it's worth actually mentioning all 40 of these, to be honest with you. I know it'll take a while, but it's pretty good. What are some of the best baseball names that you can think of off the top of
like
your head?
Like of all time?
All time, just... You know,
like
funny
wacky,
names.
Weird. I mean, Stubby Clapp would be up there, but
he's on there.
Dizzy and is Daffy he? Dean.
I mean, Dizzy Dean is a great name.
I don't
Daffy.
Know if they are. Stubby Clapp is on this list, but it's just it's great nicknames.
By the way, I looked up
everybody's name before the year 1927.
Pretty much. Right. That's why it's awesome.
Left Finger Brown. I looked up Stubby Clapp yesterday just because we were talking about Bo Hart and then these players we fall in love with. Stubby Clapp's Cardinals career was 25 at bats. 25 at-bats, one RBI. Bo Hart, phenom in 2003, played a little bit in 04, then that was it. Career numbers, four homers, 30 RBIs. Now, these
but
are the
beloved.
Guys that we still romanticize and talk about all the time. Those are the career numbers. That's
along
it.
With the likes of Homer Smoot. All right, so we're going from 40 to 1. Just throw out, you know, if one comes to mind, throw out some other great names as you're hearing these. Okay, number 40, Boots Poffenberger, pitcher for the Tigers. Number 39, Pretzel Pizzullo, left-handed pitcher.
He did mornings on Y98 for a while.
Now, this one, some of these are maybe a little vulgar. It is the bro Bible. Number 38 is Pete LeCocq.
Oh, yeah. His dad, I'm turning into McCarver. His dad was Peter Marshall, who hosted Hollywood Squares.
Really?
Yeah, Peter Marshall. Pete LeCocq may have played for the Royals, played for the Cubs.
1972 to 1980, Cubs and Royals, career batting average 257, had 27 bombs. Decent little 8-year major league career, first baseman outfielder. Number 37, Mordecai, Three Finger Brown.
Yeah, that's fair.
I believe, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Did he only have three fingers?
I don't know, Cardinals, played with the Cardinals. Career record 239 and 130. Number 36, Bunny Brief.
Okay.
All right. Played from 1912 to 1917. Played for the St. Louis Browns. Number 35, Sugar Cane.
Yeah.
Played for the Philadelphia A's, St. Louis Browns, Chicago White Sox, 32 to 38. Granny Hamner. How about Bill Malarkey, folks. Phenomenal Smith. His name is Phenomenal Smith. Played in 1884 to 1891.
They're all old-time names,
yes.
Aren't they?
There's some newer ones.
I'm trying to think
up.
Of Cardinal. Well, Stubby Clapp would be.
Orville Overall.
We need more Orvals in the world.
Yes. Greg Legg.
Not Greg the Leg.
Not Zerline. Greg Legg.
Also not the cult band from St. Louis, Jake's Leg. Greg Legg.
Correct. Greg Legg played with the Fightin' Phils. This always interests me. He played with the Phillies from 86 to 87. His career 18. Batting average... 409. Now, only one double, one RBI, three runs. So it's probably like, what, he was three for, you know, he had success in a limited role. Wouldn't you get more opportunities? It's right. Kind of like the Magnaris Sierra question. The guy's hitting 409. Nobody should end their big league career hitting 409 if you've only played for 1 or 2 years.
Right.
You throw him out there, and I hope something didn't happen now that I think about it.
There's probably more to
the I'll have
story.
To look that up. Dizzy Trout, number 29. Number 28, Mudcat Grant. All right. 27, Hugh High. 26, Snuffy Sternweiss. Old Snuffs. 25, Possum Witted.
Hold on. Is he reading all 40? Okay.
Yes, Possum Witted. Played with the Cardinals. Dizzy Dean is on this list. Number 24.
To get to that.
Here's a recent guy, Boof Bonzer. Remember him? Pitcher, Boof
yeah.
Bonzer, 2006 to 2010. 22, Stubby Clapp, baby. 21, Buttercup Dickerson. Number 20, Vinegar Bend Mizell played with the Cardinals, 52-62.
I think it's Robert.
Either way, Beltran. Number 19, this guy's name, Mysterious Walker. He played for the Brooklyn Superbas.
Sure.
Superbas. Number 18, a great Tiger, John Walkenfuss, 74-85. Number 17, Bombo.
Is Walkenfuss a catcher?
Catcher, first baseman,
should
outfielder.
Should not have stopped you.
Old school Tigers, that great old school 84 Tigers look. Tigers won it all. Number 17, Bombo Rivera. Number 16, Bud Weiser. I feel like we've brought him up before.
No, is that a real name?
Dead serious. It's Bud Weiser. 1915, 1916, Philadelphia Phillies, only batted 162. You'll know this name.
Welcome to St. Louis, son. What's your name?
You're not
Bud
from around
Weiser.
Here. We're so welcoming here in St. Louis, unlike other cities.
That AB commercial, Charlie says that's the last time they welcomed an out-of-towner.
Now, first of all, I think that's a great commercial.
First of all, that's a good joke.
Yes, because we are so welcoming in St. Louis. Just kidding. But that's a great commercial, and during the Super Bowl, I thought it was fantastic. And now we're suffering from a little overload because I see it. I think they play it three times in between every inning of every Cardinals.
Yes.
Game. But I digress. Number 15, Moonlight Graham. 1905, New York Giants, played one inning in the outfield. Moonlight Graham, of course, made famous with the movie
Field of Dreams.
Number 14.
He's
going
to make sure I was paying attention.
No, I was trying to think.
Razor Shines. I remember him.
Number 14, Razor Shines, played 83-87 for your Montreal Expos. Number 13, Boog Powell. Number 12, Dick Pohl. You know why.
Longtime pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
Number 11, Coco Crisp.
Okay.
Number 10, Blue Moon Odom. Number 9, Chicken Hawks. Chicken Hawks played 1921, 1925 for the New York Yankees and Philadelphia Phillies. Number 8, The Only Nolan. The guy's name was The Only Nolan. Back in 1878.
They sound like, is this the entries into the Preakness tomorrow? That's what it's starting to sound like.
Well, look at the teams he played for. Indianapolis Blues, Cleveland Blues, the Pittsburgh Alleghenies, the Wilmington Quick Steps. I'm going to write that down. That's a good name for a team, the Quick Steps.
His actual name, Edward Sylvester, the Only Nolan.
Yes, and the Philadelphia Quakers, I think that's the team that Brendan Schaefer played for in high school. The Philadelphia Quakers?
The Quakers.
No laughs there? Okay,
oh,
I thought it was
Canadian,
better.
Of course.
Roy Orbison singing for the only one.
Number 7, Cannonball Titcom. Cannonball Titcom. Left-handed pitcher, southpaw, 1886.
There's three shows going on right now.
He also played for the Philadelphia Quakers and the Rochester Broncos. Catfish Hunter, number 6. Number 5, Yo-Yo Davalillo. Yo-Yo Davalillo.
Hold on. I got to interrupt, Chuck. To be fair, Brian McKenna, friend of the show, said, this is a Jober joke. It's what he said.
Okay.
But was Bud Weiser drafted?
I like that. That's good stuff. Rusty Kuntz, number 4.
Yeah, you can't
number
say that.
3, Quentin McCracken, recently, 95 to 2006. Number 2, Peekaboo Veach. Can you guys think of the number 1 name?
Skier.
It's a recent guy, relatively recent, really good nickname. Played from 1982 to 1991. Think of pitcher with a really cool nickname.
The Bird Fidrich. No.
That should be in here now you say that.
That's not
played for the Red
name.
Sox, the Expos, and the Texas Rangers.
I just came across a name that I could not believe was not on this list. Johnny Dickshot. That's a great one. And his nickname was Ugly. So his nickname was Ugly.
So his
Johnny
name is
Dickshot.
Giant Dickshot?
Johnny.
Oh,
Johnny Dickshot.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
If it was
ugly,
Giant.
Okay. Ugly. Ugly.
All right.
Johnny
there's going to be an email today, boys.
Come on. Think of it.
Red Sox, Rangers.
Great name. Pitcher.
Not Doc. Doc Ellis, Doc Medic. No.
Oil Can Boyd. And that's the list, according to Bro Bible.
Is that it?
Yes.
What about the greatest Cardinal names? Well, Homer Smoot would be on that list. Would somebody have fun with this and buy a Homer Smoot jersey, please, for this homestand? We've got 3 games left in honor of Magnera Sierra.
Homer Smoot. Did they have numbers back in the day? We were talking with our boss, Spencer Koch, at Fox 2 yesterday. He's a huge New York guy, Yankees fan, and he knew all those retired numbers. And he was saying that back in the day, you know, players didn't have numbers, and then when they gave numbers out, it was because your spot in the batting order, and that's why the Babe Ruth number 3 and what Gehrig 4. So back in the day, that's how it all started.
Remember Scarborough Green for the Cardinals? That was a recent memory.
Did you go to Scarborough Fair?
Scipio Spinks.
Leon's brother.
Scipio Spinks, famous card. There was a Bones Eli. These are Cardinal names. But I digress. Cards and Giants this weekend. Again, weather permitting, closing out the homestand. Cubs and Brewers are playing right now, and the Brewers enter the day in first place. Cubs are a game back of the Cardinals, so time to get back to winning, boys. Let me just tell them that. You're going to be down there tomorrow. If they don't win tonight, you tell them it's time to get back to winning.
We need a shove. What we need is a good old-fashioned shove. Maybe 2 out of 3 from those Gigantes.
And I believe the Rock Man will. Are you going to administer? What's your percentage? Are you ready to do this? Let's do this. It's the Friday tradition here on 590 The Fan.
Can you also do a sports update, please? I'll do one right now. Milwaukee taking on the Cubs. The Brujas up 2-1 in the third inning. Chris Bryant at the plate. Back to you, Rockman.
And the nerd whack, Eric Sogard, for the Brewers.
He looks like a scientist.
Delivered against Eddie Butler early on. Your guy that shoved last week.
His shove rate. I know I'm taking away from Rocky's time here, but I have to mention this because I'm in a tough fantasy week. So I picked up Eddie Butler. He did shove against the Cardinals. I'm thinking, all right, day game. Maybe the Brewers, you know, everybody's tired. You get one of those kind of day game lineups. Eddie Butler has 5 walks through 3 innings. He's not shoving. 88 pitches for the Butler through 3 innings of work. That's not very efficient. 88 pitches.
Also not a good nickname for him.
Once you picked him up, things went south.
He now stinks.
Rockman, Matt Rocchio is here to administer what's your percentage, and these are the questions that you'll fire away, and what we will do is give you a percentage of the likelihood of that happening.
All right, here we go. What is your percentage? There will be robo-umps calling balls and strikes in Major League Baseball before the DH comes to the National League. Chris was getting into the question about robots calling balls and strikes with Chris Long on Twitter last night.
Really?
Yes, he was.
I think DH is coming first, so I'm going to say 5% chance of that happening. I could see, though, maybe 10, 15 years down the road, I could see robo home plate umps. But DH is coming first, I think.
I would hate to see a robo umpire, even though they'd probably get the calls right. You got to have the guys back there with personality. Who were the ones? Oh, I'm going back and remember.
Eric Gregg.
Yeah, but he was loud, right? Not Lee Wire.
He was the big guy.
There was a couple of them. Eric Gregg, real big guy. Stole my cab once at Wrigley Field. True story.
Hunter Wendell Stat?
Yeah, but, oh, back in the day, not Lee. Lee Wire was the tall one. You used to know all their names. I used to know all
Steve
the
Steve Palermo just passed away.
But one was known for being really, Dutch Rennert might have been the loud guy.
I was at dinner. It was me, Dutch Reynolds, and Barbara Streisand.
You
and
know
guess
what?
Who our waiter was? A young Eddie Vedder. What? I don't know.
Okay, I cannot pick on McCarver anymore for having great random
nuggets.
By the
way, I love McCarver.
I
just
know.
So people know, I'm not disrespecting. We're having fun.
Oh, he
with
would
the
love
fact
this.
That he has the greatest stories ever because he's lived such an awesome life that he's sat down and had dinner with the most famous people in our world. Just so I want everybody to know. Spags, I am making fun of. McCarver, this is a sign of respect, just so you all know.
He just has great random nuggets.
Yes.
And I think it was Dutch Rennert who is the loud umpire. Anyway, I would like to see the umpires continue so we can mock and heckle them.
That was Gardner on Twitter said, what will we do now if they take away his ability to make fun of and criticize the umps? My response to that, of course, was to complain about players' haircuts.
I'm going to go 2% on your question.
Right,
to answer your question
robo
fairly.
Robo umps before the DH in the NL.
I hate the idea of the DH coming to the NL, but it does seem like there is momentum for that.
All right, here we go. Our next one is going to be, what is your percentage? The Cubs are in first place in the NL Central come Monday. As you said, they're a game behind the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are
a game behind
the
Brewers. Cubs in first place? No, because they'd need the Cards to lose a little bit, and they'd have to do well against the Brewers, who are currently playing well. Percentage, the Cubs are in first place Monday. I'll say 25%.
I'm going to say 5%. I don't feel like looking up the exact math. I just know it's probably difficult. So 5%.
All right. What is your percentage? Martin goes to the courthouse next week to legally change his name to Panama Jones.
It should be 100%.
But you know I won't get it done. I'd like to do it, and not only for you guys, but for myself, but I probably won't get it done.
I'm actually going to go with a 30% chance he goes ahead and spins. He turns into the skid and changes his name to Morty Kilcoin.
See, that's what I was going to say.
30% chance that happens.
Even
instead.
If Martin doesn't legally change it, we have to just always call him Orlando or Morty to the point where it just becomes his name.
Exactly. I like that. This is a new one Gardner sent us. What's your percentage? Charlie likes reading lists more than Martin.
Oh, that's a tough call.
I have to say, I thought that list was going to be better than it was. When I read it, I was reading it during commercial break. I'm like, this is really good. Then I started reading it, and it seemed like it wasn't a good response from you guys. And then text line started destroying me for it. But either way, I like hearing old-timey baseball names.
I think, now, this is an honest thought, honest critique. I think the list was fine. What the audience probably wanted from you was you to go through the 40 and pick out your favorite 7 or 8 or so.
Yeah.
Instead of reading all
40. Yeah, reading the 40.
I think the reading the 40 is why you were getting crushed.
That's fair.
I remember one time I almost texted in when you were counting up. You counted up to like 12 and you went 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, you couldn't have seen him in like 6. Okay, there's 12 years.
No, this is
counting.
Fine. Listen.
The Rock man balanced his checkbook while you were doing that.
This is harsh but fair critique.
Yeah,
we're all trying to get better
love,
here.
Tough love.
We're all trying to get better here on the Midday Grind.
All right, and our final one. What is your percentage? The Cubs manager, Joe Maddon, did not raise a glass of wine to the news that Cardinals skipper Mike Matheny was one of four managers named to the recently reorganized MLB competition committee.
Joe Maddon probably doesn't want to be on it. Although they probably don't want to listen to him opine constantly.
What is your percentage? He did not raise a glass to Matheny being named to that.
First of all, Theo Epstein's on it, so the Cubs are
100%.
Represented. Can't you just see this room and it's like John Smoltz and you got Dave Roberts, you got Joe Girardi, and then Joe Maddon comes in, he's got a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops, he's got a beer and like a Panama Jack hat, and he's like, all right, let's talk about the rules, guys.
Hey, I brought the media with me. Is that all right? Because I was just going to be talking to them anyway.
He's passing around a flask.
100% that Joe Maddon did not raise a toast to Matheny being on the committee. 100%, in my opinion, Joe Maddon was probably a little annoyed that he wasn't on there since he's now the Uber manager. That's not a car thing. It used to be an expression we used for Uber on all things. But Joe Maddon would love to opine on the game because he's already done that without being on the committee. I don't really understand the committee and how it was already in existence.
It was.
They reconstituted it.
And I believe I read that it used to be just owners. Is that accurate?
Sounds right.
I'm not sure about that, but 16 people, four managers, as I mentioned, Girardi, Matheny, Dave Roberts, and...
There were no females, so they have the ghost of Marge Schott, I believe, is on the
There's
panel.
No females. I did notice that. John Smoltz is on it.
It said the only media member, and I'm like, yeah, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I don't know if I'd call him a media member.
I did like, by the way, Gardner's usage of skipper in this question.
Cardinals, I do like that term.
But I guarantee the people that dislike Matheny as a manager were like, what? He's on the – what do they want him on there for?
I just can't wait because now every reporter in St. Louis gets to talk about gets to have that extra line they had in every single Rams story about Jeff Fisher. Part of the MLB competition committee.
Well, we'll be talking.
His thoughts on this rule change. There was always – you always could ask Jeff Fisher about the ridiculous rule change, and now you can
get
Matheny on that too.
They'd lose every game, and they'd be like, coach, tough loss. Well, that kickback should not have been overturned.
I'm not looking for the potential of them having a bad run and then Matheny being like, well, we're going to have to look at the rule book on that. It's like, I don't want to hear those.
I'll call the league.
I don't want to hear those press conferences again.
We actually do this all the time in the Fox 2 Sports office because during the entire Fisher era, as Martin said, they'd always lose. Let's say it was 35-7, and he would start his opening statement with, well, if you noticed, there should not have been a penalty there in the second. I'll make sure I send the tape to the league. Well, coach, you still lost by 4 touchdowns. But it was always, yeah, you know, I'm on the competition committee. We're trying to get that out of the league. We'll make sure that Roger hears about it. He doesn't know who you are.
By the way, Gardner needed to change something. I said I liked to use your skipper. He texted and said it actually should have said field manager.
Field manager. What's your percentage? I'm adding this to the mix. The Cardinals land Luis Robert Robert percentage. They're apparently White Sox, Astros, Cardinals. They do finish second a lot in free agent bidding. This would be kind of fun if it happened, even though I don't like when people just get giddy over prospects.
But we have no idea. This guy will not be in the big leagues for what? At least 3 years?
Well, we also have no idea whether Joe Maddon toasted a glass of wine last night.
I just don't think Cardinals fans care enough right now that they will be that mad if they don't get him.
What's the percentage that they – I didn't ask if they're mad. What's the percentage they will land this guy? I'm going to say 42%.
I was going to say 40.
I'm at 42.
Can we also – you want to hear all the committee here?
38%.
I'll go quick. Roberto Alomar.
Is he going to read all? Is he going to read all 16?
Okay. Mark Shapiro is the only holdover from the 14-man special committee for on-field matters appointed by Bud Selig back in 2009. You got Matheny, Dave Roberts, Buck Showalter, four baseball ops people, Sandy Alderson, Chris Antonetti with the Indians, Jerry DePoto, Theo Epstein, okay? Frank Connolly, Ray Davis, Mark Lerner, David Sampson, Tom Werner. That's it.
There is your reconstituted MLB competition committee. All right, one more. What's your percentage that Wainwright will shove on Sunday? Back-to-back Sunday shoves from Waino. You have Waka tonight, Martinez tomorrow, Wainwright on Sunday. Cards and Giants all weekend long, weather permitting. Last week, 7 shutout innings on Sunday. Wainwright's had a nice full week of rest. What are your shove graph thoughts?
Shove percentage for Waino, I'm going to say 66%. Two-thirds chance of shoving. He was, again, he was pretty darn good in that outing before against the Marlins, but then had a little trouble with some bad luck. Cecil gives it up. His line looks a lot worse than it actually was. Then he shoves. I feel like he's figuring something out. He's well-rested, 35-year-old. The extra rest helps. 66% shove rate.
And there you have, what's your percentage? Charlie, would you like to tell us about one of our fine sponsors this hour? I believe there's a couple left on the
docket. There are a couple left. We have Bertarelli Cutlery, but first I want to tell you about 188 Fine Men's Saloon or Salon. I believe it's Salon, but it's on the list as a saloon. It'd be nice. You know what? They actually do have alcohol there. I saw they have drinks there in the lobby. So maybe it's both. But it's 188 Fine Men's Salon, and it's Chesterfield and Creve-Coeur, two locations. Martin, I went to the Chesterfield location last Friday, got an awesome haircut. I got the scalp massage. I got the head and neck shoulder massage.
Well, you're a married guy now. You're stressed out with all your responsibilities.
My life's so tough. On a Friday, I have to do the 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, all these sports casts. I'm so stressed out. You go to 188 Fine Men's Salon, Chesterfield and Creve-Coeur. They'll take care of you, Martin. They'll pamper you. I even saw Rennie Knott. Rennie Knott got his nose hair trimmed or shaved. I think they even did a story on it. Rennie Knott had these sticks up his nose because he went to 188
like
Fine Men's
Salon.
Like popsicle
sticks.
And they shaved his nose hair. As you get older, it happens, guys. Sometimes you get hair in your ears.
You either shove or get shaved.
Yeah.
Is usually what happens.
You get hair in your nostrils there. But they can do everything, man. Haircuts, it's all good. 188 Fine Men's Salon.
It's all good. New tagline for 188. Maybe we'll take our first break of the hour. Is that possible? I think we will. We'll come back also with today's takeaways. What did we learn today? I might add on a few.
I wrote down a lot today, actually.
Did you?
Yes.
I've been bad today.
I'm trying to be better at this.
I'm going to write down some things that we learned from this week. You can always text in at 855-282-8255. And the earlier text topic also for you was about the Predators. Are you okay with them winning? Are you the bitter Blues fan like Martin that says, I don't want those country buggers winning. I'm not ready for that. You can text that in.
And also, just so we clear this up, it is 188 Fine Men's Salon. Salon. But you can get your drinks there and hang out in the lobby while you're waiting to get your fine haircut. And also, because you brought up the Predators, Martin, first of all, I'm all good with the Predators winning. I don't care. I think it makes the Central rivalry better. And I want to see new teams win. And also, I feel a bit vindicated because you look at all the pictures of the Predators uniforms. It's pretty darn in between orange and yellow.
No,
it's a
not.
Really bright, odd shape of yellow that's pretty darn close to orange. I'm telling you, look at the picture.
Will you let the Rock
I'll show you the picture, Rock
no,
Man.
I think they're just like blending with the Ducks a little bit when you look at them on the ice at the same time.
Or maybe this is a picture of them versus the Blues.
Maybe
they don't look orange.
Maybe the hue on your iPad is
off. The lights are messing with it.
Okay, you ready? Just look at this picture and tell me what you think.
I think you're colorblind.
You're telling me that's not darn close to orange.
No, I think that's literally just a dark a lighting making it look orange.
It's yellowish.
Unbelievable.
It's yellowish.
Just take a break.
The shadows, Charlie.
There isn't a single person out there right now that thinks the Predators uniforms are orange.
That dress was blue.
It's darn close to orange, is what I'm saying.
It's a weird yellow.
Yes.
I'll go weird yellow, but it's not orange.
But it's close to orange. Yes, it is.
No. What color is this subway lid right here? You see that?
That's yellow, and it's way different than the Predators color.
I don't know. I think you need an intervention here. Color intervention.
Just take a clandestine break.
What happened here? That's not
take an effervescent break.
Get to the break, Rockman! You're fine.